Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Joe and Amber Podcast.
James, I'd prefer if I talk about some of my exes on the air, that maybe that's not the sound that we isolate and nice. Play again as rejoins forevermore, because I feel like there's some ex of mine somewhere in America, like powering up his radio right now. Is that me? Am I the jerk? Am I who she's talking about?
Well, if you met him on Facebook...
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
And it's you.
We're just going to keep it moving. Joe Fortenbaugh, Amber Wilson. You can find him on social at Joe Fortenbaugh. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. We are in the midst of the Sweet 16 right now. Michigan State over Kansas State, 60-59. You have Arkansas and UConn. UConn just, I mean, this isn't a contest so far, 44-29 with just under 2 minutes now left in the first of that game. Joe is in the center of the universe in Las Vegas. Some of these Sweet 16 matchups, like UConn's, is taking place in Las Vegas. UConn was not happy with their accommodations when they showed up to Las Vegas, as I understand it, Joe.
No, they were not. They were staying at the Luxor, which, for anyone who's not familiar with Vegas but may have seen some pictures, it's the giant pyramid on the south end of the strip in between the Excalibur and Mandalay Bay. And
with the light coming out of the top of it that, yes, you can't miss if you fly into Vegas at night.
Beam of light that you can see from space. That's true. So apparently they didn't like the accommodations, wasn't clean enough for them, something along those lines. So they switched hotels. Now, I don't know where they switched to, but it clearly is not having an effect on tonight's game. Currently up 17 with a minute to go in the first half, and they are absolutely shooting the lights out. 63% from the field, 44% from deep. They're 8 for 8 from the stripe. And if you're not watching, they are putting on a passing clinic. Arkansas is trying to do a lot of isolation one-on-one basketball on offense. UConn's passing it all over the place. They look like the vastly superior team. And the other matchup, which has about 11 minutes to go, Michigan State has come storming back in the second half. 1-point lead. Sweet 16 weekend is off to a fantastic start.
Luxor, I think, was the second place I ever stayed in Vegas. It was quite the step up from the first place that I ever stayed in Vegas. The first time I ever went to Vegas was when I turned 21. So the second time I went to Vegas was shortly after that. I was in college when I stayed at the
Luxor. Where did you stay the first time? Everyone wants, inquiring minds want to know.
That's not nice to say.
It's okay.
Is it?
Yes.
It started with an H. Could it have been Harrods?
Harris.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
center of the strip. That's a good
there
location.
There you go. A good location. Not the nicest of accommodations.
No,
Luxor,
but you're a rookie.
I thought, was a little
when you're
nicer.
A Vegas rookie, you don't come flying into the Bellagio. You ease your way into the hot
exactly.
tub.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say, is like none of that mattered, whether it was Harrah's right. or whether it was Luxor. Like, it was all awesome to me in college. These kids at UConn are in college. A little bougie, this UConn team, is my point. Amber Wilson was in college, and I'm pretty damn bougie.
I was in college spring break. I went out to, and we stayed at the Luxor. And the crazy thing is, you don't think about this in advance, but when you get to a building that's shaped like a pyramid, they don't have elevators.
Mm-hmm.
They have what's called inclinators.
Mm-hmm.
So the corners of the pyramid have these, you know, they look like elevators. You get into them, but you go up on a diagonal through the pyramid. That's kind of a wild start. Outside of that, not a memorable trip. Sat down at the blackjack table and got busted up instantaneously. Fell asleep at the pool, caught an awful sunburn. And those are your highlights. Those are your spring break highlights from an idiot.
Yes, and you decided to make that place your forever home. So
twice. Yeah,
there
twice
you go. That's right. You've lived in Vegas twice, so it didn't turn you off too much. Let's talk about what's happening here in this Sweet 16, though, because from a betting perspective, what is the most interesting thing? Has there been any line movement in the last couple days? What's been the most interesting matchup from a betting perspective as we headed into this Sweet 16 tonight?
Coming into the weekend, from a futures perspective, Alabama was your favorite to win the title. Now, they were sitting somewhere around plus 350, which means a $100 wager returns 350 in profit. Houston, another one seed out of the Midwest region, they were the second favorite at around plus 360. I find the teams to be somewhat comparable. I don't know why you would bet on Houston when you could bet on Alabama. Both are fantastic teams, but Alabama's path is so much simpler. You can still bet them at like minus 140, or at least you could, to win the region. They got to get past San Diego State this weekend, who is their 7.5-point favorite. Then they get the winner of Creighton and Princeton. Like, mm-hmm. You can't ask for a better draw. And then in the final four bracket that they'd end up facing, Purdue's out, Marquette's out, Duke's out. They got a great draw. So that was the first thing that stood out. I think Alabama wasn't priced accurately. There was some value there. For all the games this weekend, Tennessee, a sizable favorite over FAU. That game's coming up in a little bit. We gave that out in pizza money. I think FAU's the play there. I think Tennessee is drastically overvalued now that they've beaten Duke. Nobody liked Tennessee up until the Duke game. They beat Duke. Now everybody loves Tennessee. That's usually a recipe for disaster. So those are some of the things to keep in mind. The fact that UConn is just railroading Arkansas, if this continues, be cautious of what's going to happen next, because everyone's going to tell you UConn's going to win the title. If you had listened to this show before the tournament started, we told you UConn was going to win the title. We had it in our bracket. And by we, I mean me, not Amber.
Yeah, not me. I did definitely did not have UConn.
Show pick.
I did not have UConn. I'll take it, though. I'll take it right now. I had Kansas winning my bracket, so things did not go well
for
me,
as you can imagine.
Yes, yeah, certainly cannot win them all. Shout out to South Florida, by the way, because Miami is matching up with Houston. You mentioned Houston, their path versus Alabama's path. They have to get through Miami, then they'll face Xavier and Texas, whoever wins that game for Houston. But shout out to South Florida, who has Miami in the Sweet 16 in both the men's and women's bracket, and FAU out of South Florida as well, out of Boca Raton in the final 16 teams. It kind of cracks me up, because I think, as somebody who has lived in South Florida for decades, it's like the college basketball has to be one of the least popular sports in all of South Florida. And right now it's like the center of the universe for college basketball.
It's Raton, not Raton.
It's Boca Raton in my book.
Okay. James, Raton. Did you know that? I did not know that. I've always called it Boca Raton.
No.
Boca yeah, Raton. I think I knew that just because probably Seinfeld.
Really? Seinfeld? See, I don't. That's
no, a dated reference. No. His parents lived in Del Boca Vista.
Oh, yeah. I know it from somewhere, though. Some TV show.
It doesn't really feel like you know it from somewhere.
Where's Del Boca Vista? Is that in Florida, or is that in... supposed to be in Florida?
I think it's made up. I think it's just made
up.
Yeah,
it might be
made up. So maybe it was just a play on Boca Raton. Maybe James isn't so far off. I don't know.
Have you watched Seinfeld?
Trivia from television shows from 30 years ago.
Do you know Seinfeld?
I've watched tons of Seinfeld, but not in many years.
Okay.
It's on Comedy Central now, and it's just on like all the time.
Well, and anytime you turn
the show's never going off the air.
I think it was amazing. I think it was our board op Rachel who told me it's like all the rage now amongst how the Gen Zers discovered Friends, and apparently they've gone from Friends to Seinfeld.
Are they getting a kick out of it?
Yeah,
they
like Friends became like crazy popular amongst Gen Z. It had like a whole rebirth, Friends. And also, I think because they just, you know, some of the concepts blew their minds, like Friends sitting down talking in a coffee shop without cell phones in their hands is probably mind-blowing for the younger generation to witness.
Monica, some Bush League chef, Rachel's a waitress, mm-hmm. yet they have this awesome apartment with this great balcony and a nice, safe neighborhood in New York City.
Rent control, baby.
And then right across the hallway is this really crappy apartment. Like, what apartment building has that kind of setup where on one side of the hall, it's just your standard crappy two-bedroom, whatever, something we've all lived in. And then on the other side is this mega palace that the girls lived in. It made no sense. Who's the architect of that building?
You're reading way too far into the plot line here. First of all, there was explanations. I think it was like Monica's aunt originally had the apartment. It was rent controlled for debt. The point is, it's a very good show. That's the point.
Did you know that Courtney Cox auditioned for the role of Rachel Jennifer Aniston auditioned for the role of Monica?
They switched them. Yeah, history. They nailed that. There you go. You learn something new every day. Joe and Amber is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Coming up next, the latest on Lamar Jackson and his quest to find a team to offer him a contract. Joe and Amber is on ESPN Radio, also on the ESPN app.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Lamar Jackson, I think there is going to be a lot of drama in the coming weeks, if not months.
I think he should stand firm, put his feet in the ground, and say, hey, look, I need the guaranteed money. I'm not willing to go ahead and play this thing out year to year.
So we got a little information about Lamar Jackson and how his camp might be handling negotiations. Maybe a little information. Joe and Amber's presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. So we know Lamar Jackson right now is, I guess, in the midst of negotiations with teams. We've heard so little about it since he got hit with that non-exclusive franchise tag. Then the date came that we knew that he could talk to teams. Then the date came that we knew teams could make offer sheets and talk to him. And there's been nothing but crickets, Joe, on that front. Now, Lamar Jackson famously represents himself. He ain't the only guy in the NFL to represent himself. He is the only guy who's a former MVP at the quarterback position who's wanting $300 million to represent himself. So he ends up being the story. And that portion of this certainly ends up being the story. It's very surprising that we saw a quarterback of his caliber play out his entire rookie deal and not have another deal in place. It's very surprising we see a quarterback of his caliber at his age, under 30, well under 30, get hit with a non-exclusive franchise tag. It's never happened at that age, at that position before. And so there's a lot of unusual circumstances surrounding Lamar Jackson. Here's another one. Now the NFLPA and the NFL have sent a memo to teams warning them about negotiating with a man named Ken Francis. Apparently Ken Francis is a person who maybe, according to the NFL, contacting clubs in order to facilitate conversations and negotiations surrounding Lamar Jackson. This information apparently came from the NFLPA, and they issued a full memorandum to teams. The NFL did. It went started like this. The NFLPA has informed us that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is not an NFLPA certified agent, may be contacting clubs and attempting to persuade club personnel to enter into negotiations with or concerning Lamar Jackson. It goes on to talk about how uncertified persons are prohibited from negotiating offer sheets and player contracts. Just another wrinkle in this Lamar Jackson story, so to speak.
So let's start with this. Do we think Lamar Jackson is happy with the way things are going?
I would not be if I was him.
You would not be. But do you think he's happy?
I guess so.
He wants the long-term deal. He doesn't speak much about it to the media, which I respect. He said like a year ago that he was going to be done talking about this publicly. So you would have to assume, because he's making no changes to the process whatsoever, it appears, that he's got to be content with the way things are going. But if he's not, you got to make a change at some point, right? Like, what's the famous quote? He who represents himself has a fool for a client. Like, that's not to say people shouldn't go out and represent themselves. If you want to, it's your money, it's your life. go do your thing. But it doesn't seem to be going well. And it feels like if you want the big long-term contract, you might want to bring some help in. I'm sure there are agents out there who would probably take less than 3% to be able to get this done, knowing how much money is out there. But if he's content with the way this process is taking place, best of luck to him. Keep doing you. It just seems like a mess.
I'm sure whoever Ken Francis is taking less than 3%, which, listen, yeah, there's these guys in the NFL.
Ken
Francis. I don't even see
like a real name.
No, I mean, and I have no idea. Nobody really seems to know, you know, who he is. But you just mentioned there the old adage that is typically applied to lawyers where, you know, the lawyer that represents himself has a fool for a client kind of thing. You and I definitely come from that camp. You and I both law school graduates. I'm a lawyer. I mean, I am one who thinks that lawyers play a very important role. I think that, frankly, you would be a little bit crazy not to at least do these negotiations with the consult of counsel, right? Which you could do without having an agent. You could pay a lawyer hourly, make sure that they're helping you with some of these negotiations without that person actually directly talking to the teams, though, because they're not an NFL PA certified agent. And that's the key here. I also, though, think that agents are important in certain situations, and this would be one of them, because I do think that a deal may have gotten done, or at least you would have had the information that, hey, this isn't going to happen. You're probably going to get hit with a non-exclusive. What are our chances of getting the deal done with another club? Is there any other club out there willing to give you that guaranteed money that's above Deshaun Watson's that you want? And you might have a better idea of the landscape because of the connections that the lawyers have. But this isn't the only player to have a guy who ain't any of those things, right? And again, reportedly, I don't know who Ken Francis is, but it seems like the allegation is that he's not, you know, a lawyer, he's not an agent, and he's not certified. Laremy Tunsil just negotiated his own contract, did a bang-up job negotiating his own contract. What, a third time Laremy Tunsil has gotten paid, and so he's done a good job over the years negotiating and representing himself. He hired a guy named Saint Omni. I also don't know who the heck Saint Omni is. We don't have much information. Laremy Tunsil himself has been very vague. He's called him his business partner, a mastermind, a trusted confidant. That's direct quotes from Laremy Tunsil when he was on the Pat McAfee show, and they tried to get information from him on who Saint Omni is, rather. I don't know who these guys are. I do know that in the NFL world, that these guys do have other people around them that act as, you know, consultants or family friends that are closer
advisors
to them. And yeah, advisors. And because you have maybe a personal relationship with them or whatever, you just trust them more, I guess, than you would trust an agent. It seems crazy to me when you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. It's hard for me to grasp on the outside looking in. Like, I just do not understand why you would trust that person more than somebody who's certified, more than somebody that all they do is this for a living, more than somebody whose entire livelihood depends on getting you as much as they can possibly get you. It seems, and also somebody who's trained in it. Like, that's very hard for me to grasp. But I understand that Lamar Jackson wouldn't be the only one to have this kind of, you know, air quotes, advisor.
Well, yeah, the mindset there is, why would I give up the 3%? I'm giving it. You start counting about how much money you'd be giving up, and you think to yourself, I can do just as good a job. I can get close enough where I don't have to give up the 3%. So I can understand it. That doesn't mean it's right. An update on the story, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Ken Francis denies to ESPN that he has contacted teams on behalf of Lamar Jackson. Okay, this is interesting. Because if Ken Francis is to believe, then I'm not saying we shouldn't believe him, but if he is to be believed, that means the NFL is circulating a memo saying people should not be negotiating with Ken Francis for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Right?
Well,
like,
they
think about
that. He may be. They did say in the memo, it seems like, that they were thinking that he may be contacting clubs. So maybe this is something to try to disrupt that from happening.
But from Ken Francis saying he's not doing it, to send out that memo. Like, imagine this. First off, let's take it like this. I am currently not in the business of contacting NFL clubs to negotiate on behalf of Lamar Jackson. As a result, the league has not sent out a memo saying, don't talk to Joe Fortenball if he's reaching out to you to negotiate for Lamar Jackson. He's not a certified agent, right? So we don't have that problem. So if Ken Francis is to be believed, the league has just randomly decided to single him out and send out a memo.
There's no chance. It's
right. He is somehow doing it. Like, imagine if you were sitting there right now. It's like, wait a minute. Why are you bringing my name up? I'm just sitting here doing a radio show. I'm not negotiating with anyone.
You can bring my name. You know what, Lamar? I will negotiate your contract. Yes. I'm a lawyer. I'll take a 0.5%. A half a percent
for the show.
A 0.5% to the show. Andrew Brandt had tweeted out that he negotiated several contracts with players who didn't have agents when he was with the Packers, and quite a few of them had a friend or consultant who was not a certified agent, that he always refused to talk to that person, but the player would talk to that person in the midst of the negotiation. So it's not unheard of, but it's something that teams do not appreciate.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.
Kevin Winter has never been to Las Vegas. That's what I just learned from that Sports Center update. Joe and Amber's on ESPN Radio. All you have to do is tell your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio. Find him on social at Joe Fortenbaugh. He lives in Vegas. He's been there so many times. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. I also have been to Vegas quite a few times. Let's go ahead and try to earn you some money.
Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Less of a degenerate than us. I think that's what we just learned, that Kevin Winter.
Yeah,
that is not true.
He's going to be out here soon enough at some point, you have to imagine. Pizza money. This is tomorrow, so no rush on this. We're going to lay the 7.5 with Houston over Miami. All due respect to Miami. They were fantastic opening weekend. They popped Drake, and then they came back and they absolutely hammered Indiana. But look at how they hammered Indiana. They knocked down a bunch of threes, and they played at a very fast pace. That is not going to work against Houston. Houston is one of the best defenses in the country. Houston is number two in the country defending opposing three-pointers. Houston is great in transition defense. They're great at slowing down the game. They're great at mucking up the game, which is going to cause a lot of problems for Miami in this matchup. Houston is also fantastic on the offensive glass, and star All-American Marcus Sasser says he's 90% healthy and ready to go for this game. Houston minus 7.5 over the U. Pizza money number, whatever this is, 4.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Joe and Amber?
James Steele.
Hi. Hi. Big deal or not a big deal? When you guys said that Kevin Winter wasn't a degenerate.
I mean, you were pretty quick to get on that mic. Like, you were on that mic right quick to let me know that I was wrong.
That is just false. All right. So, big deal, not a big deal. I give you, I say something, and then you tell me if it's a big deal or not a big deal. Pretty simple rules, I believe. We'll see, though. LeBron James could possibly return in the final week of the NBA season. Big deal or not a big deal, Joe?
Not a big deal. I mean, we know he's coming back at some point, and the Lakers are trying to position themselves for a playoff shot. If he's back for the last week of the season, what does that mean? How many games do we get, right? Like, they've played 72. There's 10 to go. He comes back to play, what, 2 or 3? They're sitting in the 10th seed. They're a half game up on Utah. I cannot believe Utah is still in this race, believe it or not. But they're tied with Dallas. They're a half game back in Minnesota, half game back Oklahoma City. Should be fine. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But once he's healthy for the playoffs, obviously it becomes a very big deal.
No, it still doesn't become a big deal. It's not a big deal to me because, sure, he comes back. What? He makes sure that they find themselves in a situation where they have to play a couple play-in games, and then they lose them, and then they just don't even really find themselves in the mix in the playoffs. I just don't think that this team is good enough and healthy enough to actually make any sort of postseason run. I don't know what LeBron's going to look like coming off that injury. I know LeBron normally looks just fine coming off of injuries. However, overall, this Lakers team doesn't do much for me. We're talking about the 10th seeded team right now in the Western Conference. I don't believe in them in terms of a championship, and if it ain't a championship with LeBron James, then it ain't much to talk about. So it's not a big deal.
Tom Brady has become a minority owner of the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces. Amber, big deal or not a big deal?
Big deal, right? Anytime old Tom's doing anything, I guess it's a big deal. Tom's out there supporting the WNBA. I think that's cool. I think it's cool that Tom Brady's going into ownership. Maybe this will give him a little taste of ownership. Minority owner, I get that that's not some sort of huge deal, but I just think it's interesting to see the avenues that Tom Brady is taking in retirement, Joe. It feels like that guy's actually retired.
Big deal for two key reasons. Number one, great news for the WNBA. If you're looking to continue to grow the product, if you're looking to continue to expand your footprint to get bigger, more reliable, more durable, more financially sound, having people like Tom Brady invest and back your product is fantastic for you. Number two, interesting. Brady chooses the team located right here in Las Vegas. I'm not suggesting that has anything to do with the Raiders. What I will suggest is that the NBA does want to expand into Las Vegas. LeBron James does want to be the owner of that team. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brady getting in on the Aces was a prelude to Brady getting in with LeBron James as a partial owner of the NBA franchise that eventually comes to this great city.
Now we're talking Tom Brady and LeBron James owning an NBA franchise together. I think they need a couple other. I think they need a few other partners there. I don't think the financials work out with even as rich as those two guys. I don't think the financials work out there, but with some other partners. But yes, that would be fun to see.
The New York Yankees were valued at over $7 billion in a list published today by Forbes. Joe, big deal or not a big deal?
Big deal. $7 billion? Here's why it's a big deal. If they went on the market right now, they'd go for more than $7 million. Someone would pay
million.
More than that.
I'll pull some money together. Let's go.
Let's get a piece of the Yanks, right? You'll see me down in the dugout making decisions, just terribly managing that team. But $7 billion is a monster number. And we're kind of burying the lead. Obviously, it's huge that the Yanks are worth that much, but valuations across the board are going up. If you watch the show Billions, back when Bobby Axe was at his heyday, he was trying to buy an NFL team, and there was a comment when they kept him out of it. They said, this is how we knight people in this country. That's over in England, they knight you. They have a formal process. You're knighted in this country when you are approved for ownership of a pro sports team. It is a next level thing. And for these guys with the values going up, it does not surprise me at all. It's a huge deal. But I do think the Yanks would go for more than $7 billion. I think they could go for 10. It's the New York Yankees, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's a big deal because we also spend a lot of time talking about the future of baseball and how the future of baseball is generally in trouble, right? And how baseball, in terms of its popularity, even today is a little bit in trouble. And then yet the franchises continue to be worth more and more and more. And $7 billion shows that. Now, I do wonder, and there's this nerdy story out there that I don't think anybody else is as interested in as I am, because I floated it before even on this show. James Steele seemed a little bored by the whole thing, but there's this nerdy story out there about the rights deals in Major League Baseball and what's happening there, like with the collapse of Bally's going bankrupt and what it means for so many of these franchises. And yes, the New York Yankees seem insulated from that, but no franchise is actually completely insulated from that. And that actually will adjust the values in baseball of these franchises. Like, you could actually see them come down eventually if in fact they don't figure out some other way to keep the customer base, because those rights deals seem to be changing and going away. It's a huge, huge, huge story in sports, particularly a regional sport, which is largely what baseball has become.
Overtime. Kansas State, Michigan State. Michigan State, talk about onions late in the game. Big bucket with five to go. Kansas State had a look on the other end but came up short. We're going to overtime at Madison Square Garden.
An exciting one there. The other game, not nearly as exciting. UConn up over Arkansas 59-33. That hasn't been a game at all. Not even 1 second of that game has that one been much of a game. But Michigan State found a way to make this game against K-State quite the game. We will get Florida Atlantic and Tennessee coming your way. That's tipping off at 9 p.m. Eastern, and Gonzaga and UCLA will be tipping off at 9:45 p.m. Eastern. So we will keep you updated, though, on what the happenings are in the Sweet 16 during our show. I feel like we've spent a lot of time on March Madness. Like, honestly, we're doing a bang-up job covering March
one of the
Madness.
Greatest bang times a year. This is, like I've said, I know a lot of people can't afford opening weekend. This is a great weekend to be in Las Vegas. You can catch all the games. You can golf during the day. The weather's a little bit nicer. The pricing's easier. This is the weekend you should be circling.
James, were we done with big deal, not a big deal?
No, I have more.
I was sorry for cutting you off there, James. I just thought we needed an update on that.
That's way more important than big deal, not a big deal. That's a big deal. I have one more. So there's a story I read, and it was, the headline was, two inmates were found at an IHOP in Virginia after escaping by digging a hole with tools made from a toothbrush and a metal object. There's a lot of things to unpack there, but is any of that headline a big deal or not a big deal, Amber?
I think anytime that you escape from jail or from prison, it's a big deal, I would imagine. Now, of course, an even bigger deal for these gentlemen, because I would imagine that they're about to now be charged with additional crimes, and their stay may be longer, so they may have to look into revamping their tools, I guess, again. How much time do you have on your hands? Like, I don't have the attention span to dig my way out of anything with a toothbrush, but I guess that shows how much time you have on your hands in jail. Joe, something that I'm not very familiar with. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Maybe don't reveal it on air if you are, but digging your way out of jail with a toothbrush, it seems like a very, very tedious task. And if I was going to go through that, I'd find myself at a Waffle House over an IHOP.
May or may not have seen a drunk tank once
in
the past, but you know, it's unconfirmed reports.
I'm not surprised. That's why I set it up for you.
There is a lot to unpack here, James. You're right. Because like, how deep and long was this hole? Are we talking Shawshank Redemption? Did the hole take you out of the cell into freedom, or was there another layer to it? Also, I always find these escapes fascinating because, let's be honest, the people who end up in prison are generally not the brightest because they were the ones that got caught. Mm-hmm. Yet they somehow come up with a plan that gets them out of prison, which I'm thoroughly impressed by because I can't really change a tire. I can't change the oil in my car. I'm not very useful when it comes to just about anything. So when I hear these stories, I think to myself, you know, the American spirit is alive and well, and we are still innovating and creating and being clever and being persistent, just not in the way a lot of parents and teachers and educators would like to see.
The problem is the plan.
What were the tools? A toothbrush?
A toothbrush and some sort of metal object.
Yeah, a toothbrush. They dug out in part with a toothbrush.
With a toothbrush. That's what I'm saying. It's so darn tedious. I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to stay in here. I'm thinking.
I'll use a toothbrush.
You'll use a toothbrush to dig your way
out? Yes. You're just going to sit around in jail all day? If I was in jail, I'd be trying to escape from the moment I got there. I'm going to let that be very clear. I would not take that lying down. I'd be trying to escape from the moment I got there. I wouldn't be able to do it, but I'm definitely trying to escape.
It's terrible advice. It's the plan after the plan, though. Like, you have to have the plan to escape. That's one thing. But then after you escape, like, you can't be, like, walking around society in an orange jumpsuit. It's kind of a big tell. Everybody at this IHOP recognized them because it was the patrons at the IHOP that alerted the cops that these guys were there. So there's that problem in today's world. It's hard to go anywhere and be anonymous.
A bit aggressive to be at the IHOP.
Well, maybe they thought we're just going to get in one last meal here of pancakes at the IHOP.
Do they have money? What were they planning on doing? It's got to be a dine and dash situation, right?
Right. I guess. I don't know. Or unless you have somebody on the outside helping you out. I think that's the terminology, right? That's how it works. Joe and Amber's presented by In Progressive Insurance. Overtime has started in the Kansas State-Michigan State game. Michigan State up 87-85. Coming up next here on Joe and Amber, we're going to open up the phone lines to you, and it's your time to weigh into the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, whatever your hottest takes, anything you want to discuss, maybe tell us how you escaped from prison. 888-729-3776. I'm just kidding. Do not call us from prison. Do not call us from prison. 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll open up the phone lines next.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.
The phone lines are open to you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What is happening? Is this like wrestling music or something? Because
this is not you.
Steele going nuts in the
Zoom. You don't suck.
Oh, well, thank you for clarifying.
That's what you sing along the song. Turn it up a little
bit. Isn't that Daniel Bryant?
No, it's Kurt Angle, Pittsburgh's own Kurt Angle.
She did a good job not getting offended by that.
Daniel Bryant, that's a good guess. I don't know why you know that name, but congratulations.
Wait, you know why I just did that, James? Because you were doing the arms.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
what you
do for Daniel Bryant, right?
Yes.
What do you yell?
Yes. You yell the word.
That's what it is. Yes. There you go. Look at me knowing something about wrestling.
I don't know what's happening right now.
It's outstanding.
I feel dirty.
It's electric in here.
You're a fan.
Okay, so as I was saying before I got distracted by these people I work with, 888-SAY-ESPN. The phone lines are open. We will get to your phone calls. 888-729-3776. Bring us your hottest take, anything you want to talk about in the world of sports and beyond. But first, Joe's got another pizza money headed your way.
Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Okay, these are three boxing bets for Saturday night. The first one is on Showtime, Caleb Plant over David Benavidez. Caleb Plant is a plus 280 favorite, all right? So it's a one-unit wager, plus 280. Benavidez should be the favorite. He should not be the favorite by this much. I see value on Plant. He's a guy that's fought at the highest level, went 11 rounds against Canelo Alvarez, bounced off that loss and knocked out Anthony Durrell. He's very fast. He's very sharp. And this is a step up for Benavidez, who's very aggressive. He comes at you. He puts the pressure on, but he's a bit one-dimensional. Ring generalship could lead to a win for Caleb Plant, so plus 280 there. In addition, Fresno, Saturday night, ESPN and ESPN Plus. It's Jose Ramirez versus Richard Comey. Two bets here. Number one, Ramirez by stoppage is plus 200. Number two, will not go the distance, plus 150. We've seen Ramirez just once since his 2021 loss to Josh Taylor. It was a decision over Jose Pedraza. But Richard Comey, who used to be very difficult to stop, operative phrase, used to be. He's 36 years old. He's only won one of his last four fights. Teofimo Lopez knocked him out. Vasily Lomachenko would have knocked him out if he wanted to. He ended up doing a huge favor for the kid, and he carried Comey to the end of the fight because Comey's corner wouldn't throw the towel. So three final bets on the show tonight. Saturday night, Caleb Plant plus 280 over David Benavidez. Jose Ramirez by stoppage over Richard Comey plus 200. And Comey Ramirez does not go the distance plus 150. Woo!
13 black odds, no winner.
Spin the wheel, make a deal. It's a game of chance. Let's play. Call a roulette with Joe and Amber.
Kevin Winter and James Steele immediately blowing up my mentions at the sheer name that I threw out there, even though I got the information wrong about Daniel Bryan, because they're just so amazed that I know who that is. James Steele has accused me of being a secret wrestling fan now.
Yep.
Yes,
Twitter. We know now.
Good.
We know. We know.
No, what happened was I was sort of like a secret reality show Bella Twins fan.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
What happened. Because he's married to one of the previously known as Bella Twins. Now that they just left WWE, went back to their last name of Garcia. Anyways, way too much information.
Hey, however, get you excited. That's we're all about it here. James and I are not judging. Any angle in is an angle we support.
Welcoming. We're welcoming. Okay. Secret or new wrestling fans.
Okay. Let's welcome in the callers. Let's spin the wheel.
Yes.
Chad is in Indianapolis. Hey, Chad. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were talking about the prison escape. I had a dad joke I wrote about how the 20 convicts escaped the prison's only window.
Okay.
How?
How?
Single file.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's not bad.
It's an excellent joke. Come on.
And out of context, people are so confused right now why there's this prison dad jokes on ESPN Radio. If you missed anything on Joe and Amber, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Let's spin the wheel. Kent is in Virginia. Kent, thanks for the call. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to turn and ruin the Jets like he did ruin Green Bay. It's just a waste of time and a waste of money.
Some people do have that concern. Aaron Rodgers has had quite the career, Joe, that would suggest otherwise. But coming off this past offseason, a down season for Aaron Rodgers, some people feel like that it's not going to go well over there in green.
I mean, when you're talking about the idea that you were 90% ready to retire and then you came out of the darkness retreat, found out what was happening, and now you want to play, you got to wonder a little bit, like, is your head all the way in it? But I also see Rodgers as a competitor, and if he feels he's getting burned in this situation, he's going to come back very motivated and very angry.
Spin it. Kyle's in Vegas. Kyle, you have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. My hot take would be Brock Purdy is the best quarterback on the Niners roster. Kicking it back to kind of some Vegas betting, after his sophomore year at Iowa State, he was so electric. He would probably have been one of the top five future bets next year for the Heisman candidacy.
A lot of people think Brock Purdy might be that dude. He's coming off of a bad injury, though, Joe. He's going to miss the start of the season. It's going to be interesting to see what they do out that there with that quarterback position. Kansas State right now leads Michigan State 94-93, less than 20 seconds left in overtime. That is a one-point game.
This has been the Joe and Amber Podcast. You can listen to Joe and Amber live weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, or on your smart speaker. Joe and Amber, the podcast.